This message is given by Dr. B.J. Stagner, pastor of New Testament Baptist Church, Goodlettsville, Tennessee.
All right. 1 Corinthians in chapter 10 tonight. 1 Corinthians in chapter 10. Is God good or what? Amen? Boy, He is, I tell you. What a blessing it is just to be a child of the King. Amen? We're practicing that song in choir, and what a blessing it is. I mean, you can join all kinds of clubs, or join all kinds of clubs, be a member for the different organizations and all this and that. But just to be a child of the King, amen, to be recognized by the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, be recognized by our Savior, amen, as one of His, what a sincere blessing it is in this life, praise God. We get something to look forward to, amen, eternal life with our Lord and Savior, the one who lived and died for us, that we may be reconciled unto Him. And the Father, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, just one verse tonight that we're going to start out with. I'm going to ask you to stand, if you will, and honor the reading of the Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, very familiar verse. Everything I believe tonight that's going to be said is a very familiar passages of Scripture, very familiar thoughts. But I just think in the world that we live in today, still seemingly in the new year right now, third week or whatever we're in, and second or third week, I believe it's important for us to begin to look at these things. I guess this is the third Sunday. So 1 Corinthians in chapter 10, one verse, verse 13. The Bible says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it." Heavenly Father, we pray today to have your will and your way in our lives. We ask forgiveness of where we have failed you, Lord. We pray that you give us guidance, direction. Give us mercy, Father, in the time that we now live in. We pray for your help and your guidance, Lord, in everything that we do and say. And Father, I pray for the next few moments here at New Testament Baptist Church that you dwell with us, that you open our hearts and minds, and let us not be distracted by the things of this world, Father, and the things of this life. Let us focus upon the victory that you've given us in the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior and thy Son. In Christ's name we ask. Amen. Amen. Thanks so much. Please be seated if you will. Friend, with all the distractions in the world today, I think it's important for us to begin to look and study these verses out and really write them upon the table of our heart. We live in a world today that it really and truly it seems to be harder than ever before to possess a pure mind and clean thoughts. The Bible says in Romans chapter 7, verse 23, "But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members." Paul goes on to say in verse 24, he says, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." Friend, amazingly tonight, the living Christ has given us a book. He's given us a blueprint. He's given us a map tonight. Love letters from heaven, if you will, to provide us with the needed direction, the needed guidance and safety to function in a world full of corruption. Let's just be honest with what it is. I'm not trying to be a negative preacher this afternoon, but sometimes you just need to be honest. The world is full of corruption. Can I get an amen? We know that's true. But the Lord Jesus Christ has given us a book here. He's given us a Bible. He's given us His Word, which is pure. It's without void. It's without contradiction. It's without error in any way, shape, form, and fashion for us to be able to function in the life that is filled with corruption. Amen and amen. We were talking last night that there is no safe channels anymore on TV. When I was growing up, it was very easy for a child to be left in the living room, left in the den, and sit there and watch television, watch Saturday morning cartoons, and really and truly the only commercials that we saw on Saturday mornings was advertising cereal, advertising toys, and other cartoons. Today, you can't leave the commercials on TV anymore. You can't leave a child in front of even a cartoon channel today, in reality, because some of the cartoons today are so wicked, they're really meant for adults, and I'm going to tell you, even when they say meant for adults, I have no business watching a lot of that garbage that's on there. You don't need to watch it. Your mind is not to be brought down into a gutter. You need to have a gutter mind and gutter thoughts and this and that. So it's hard today. It is hard. It's just difficult in the world that we do live in for people to possess a pure mind. And I'm aware of that. I'm understanding to that. But nevertheless, the Word of God has been given unto us
so that we may be able to function in this life, so that you and I can function in this world today, in the world that we do live in, full of corruption, full of sin. We've been given a book to give us a blueprint, a map, so that we may get through the temptations that come into our life on a daily basis. Somebody say amen. They come on a daily basis, don't they? Now, some days are higher than others. Some days are lower than others. Some days, it seems like you go through the day without the temptation. Then some days, it seems like you go through without the relief of a temptation. Amen. We understand that. And that's the wickedness and way of this world today. But can I say this to you tonight, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13? Do you know that we have the ability tonight to overcome every temptation that comes our way? We have the ability, friend. If you look there in 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that." Watch this. "Above that ye are able." Friend, we are able. Otherwise, the Lord Jesus Christ would not have told us that we are able. Hold your place there in the 1 Corinthians in chapter 10. And I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians in chapter 10. 1 Corinthians in chapter 10. And then turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Hold your place there in the first. But the Bible says in 2 Corinthians in chapter 10 in verse 5. Paul writes this by inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, and this is part of that being able to work through the wickedness of this world. But he says, "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought," watch this, "to the obedience of Christ." Friend, when the very thought enters our mind, from the slightest temptation to the greatest struggle in our life, I mean, some things that many people deal with today, they're different than what other people deal with. But many times, friend, when you're beginning to deal with those struggles and fight those temptations, the very moment they come into your heart, they come into your mind, that's when they need to be taken and cast straight down. And when I mean literally taken and cast straight down, I think that's what you ought to do. If you have to do this with your hand and throw it down to the ground, you say, "Preacher, I look like a crazy man." However, if you might look like a crazy man, these things do, it does something. When you act it out, it really helps out. There's many a times I'm going down the road and a thought comes into my mind and I'll shake my head. I'll shake it off like that right there. I will shake it off. And they say, "Well, do you have Tourette's?" Or something. I don't have Tourette's syndrome. I'm just shaking those things off. Amen. I'm trying to get them off me. I don't want them on me. Praise the Lord. And I'm just telling you here today, we have the ability to do so. We just have to enact that ability when the temptation comes our way. And you have to cast down the imagination. Now, let me say this to you real quick and then we're going to move on. We're going to jump over to Romans chapter 7 in a second. We have the ability, okay, to cast down these imaginations. Now, imaginations are thoughts in our mind. What they are thoughts that come from our heart into our mind, and they cause visual images is what they do. That's where the word imagination comes from, is the creation of an image. We begin to imagine something. We begin to create an image of something in our mind, be it anything at all, guys. It doesn't have to necessarily be something that is according to the ways of this world or wickedness of this world or a poster board or a commercial. It could be just anything that's exalting itself up against the name of Christ. We could begin to look at ourselves as being better than what we really are or being, you know, being, "Boy, I tell you what, I sure have done a lot for the Lord. Look at the souls that I've led to Christ and look what I built and look what I did and look what I've read." I mean, we can begin to look at things like that. Friend, the Bible tells us to take those thoughts, take those imaginations and wad them up and cast them down. You want to cast those things down. The pulling down of strongholds, amen. You guys know what a stronghold is. Stronghold is something that puts you into captivity. When they used to take prisoners and they put them down into the lower dungeon, they didn't, usually a lot of times they did not put them in chains standing up like this against the wall like we've seen in the movies. What they did is they did it about a foot to 2 feet off of the floor. Now this platform right here is 18 inches high. And so if you imagine the chains right here, and let's just say for instance they're 8 inches long. And they're fastened right here. Now I want you to imagine a 6'3" man. Here he is chained. This is as far as he's going to stand up. You see what I'm doing? This is as far that he's ever going to stand up. And when he tries to push, he will never be able to get enough momentum. He'll never get enough of an angle to break himself free from those fetters or from those chains. He's in a position to where he is broken. He's in a position to where he will tire himself out just by standing or existing or breathing. He's not in a position of comfort. That's what the temptations of this world, that's what the imaginations that exalt themselves above the name of Christ and compete against for our affections and our attentions, that's what they do. They're tiresome, friend. They wear us out. We wonder why so many of us are so tired in this life and we're so weary, because most of the time we are competing and battling with the wickedness of this world, and we're tired spiritually, we're tired emotionally, we're tired physically, amen? And that's why you need to shed some of those pounds. Somebody give me an amen off that. You need to shed some of those things. Cast those imaginations down. Get them out of your mind. Get them out of your heart, friend, because you have the ability to do it. And to you not use that ability is waste that which the Lord has given you. Turn over to Romans chapter 7 with me. Romans in chapter 7. The Bible says clearly that ye are able. Romans in chapter 7, and we've already read verses 23 and 24. But I'm going to go up two more verses, and I gave you the other ones. We're going to look at these in the book here. Romans chapter 7, verse 21, Paul says, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Now I want you to stop there just for a second. I want you to think about this. Who is the I in Romans 7? I want you to remember, it is the inward man that is regenerated, and only the inward man. That which is not regenerated is the outward man. The outward man is cruel. The outward man is carnal. The outward man is fleshy. That's what carnal means. That's where you get the word carnival. Vol meaning a festival or to delight in. Carn meaning flesh. It is a flesh fest. It's what a carnival is. And if you ever, well, never mind. If you ever look at in Brazil, they have what's called carnival. And that's all it is. It's just nothing but a flesh fest during that time of year. But the outward man he's carnal, he's fleshly. And that's why Paul said in Romans 13:14, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. We got to put him on our outward man, because the inward man is regenerated, but we got to take that man, the Lord Jesus Christ, and put him on our outward man, because it's the outward man that's unregenerated. It's the law that is present with us. Even though we would do good, evil is present with us. So friend, anytime temptation comes your way, I want you to understand this today, if you can understand anything at all, you have the ability to cast down wicked imaginations. You have the ability to cast down wicked thoughts and wicked words and wicked ways. You have the ability to overcome the temptations of this life. Somebody say amen to that if you agree. All right. Secondly, we have the ability, because we have Christ's accessibility. Turn back over there to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians in chapter 10. Watch what the Bible says here. We have Christ, we have the ability, because of the Lord Jesus Christ's accessibility. And in verse 13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God, watch this, but God, who is faithful, will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation, watch this, here we go, also make a way to escape. A way to escape. In Numbers chapter 35 and verse 6, the Bible says, and among the cities which ye shall give to the Levites, there shall be six cities of refuge, the Bible says, which ye shall appoint for the manslayer, that he may flee thither, and to them ye shall add 42 cities. Beloved, there are cities of refuge, and they are types of Christ. When those Jews came into that promised land, they began to divvy up all those pieces of property, and then went to this tribe, and that tribe, and this tribe, and that tribe. And the Levites over there were given 42 cities, okay? The Levites were given 42 cities, and those cities were called places of refuge. And the reason they were there was for the sinner to be able to go into this city and be protected from those that may be coming after him. Whether or not he had killed somebody accidentally, killed somebody inadvertently, when he had done that, he was given the ability, he was given the opportunity to go into a city of refuge, and be protected there for a certain amount of time from the family they had inadvertently slain. Now, there's a reason there's 42 of them, beloved. 42 is the number of judgment. There's 42 months in the Great Tribulation period, which is the latter three and a half years of the Tribulation period, out of the 7 years. But the refuge, friend, the word refuge is in the Bible 47 times, and 19 times the word refuge is associated with that city of refuge. All throughout the Old Testament, when you see that city of refuge, friend, that is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. I quoted Romans 5:8 earlier this morning. For God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We were sinners, we were wretched, we were blind, we were miserable, we were all of those things above, amen? We were all of those things, yet Jesus Christ himself still came and made himself accessible to you and I, that we may have forgiveness of sins. You see, I want you to understand here, when you accomplish your daily tasks, this is what Hugo said, go to sleep in peace. Why can we go to sleep in peace? Hugo said, because God is awake. We can lay our head down at night and we can sleep, or at least lay there awake, amen, in peace, because God is always awake. God never sleeps. God never takes a break. He doesn't rest from the affairs of this world and the affairs of this universe, the affairs of His creation. He doesn't rest from the affairs of His people. Jesus Christ offers a place of protection. He offers a place of dwelling, security, as well as a place of sanctity from the judgment that is pronounced upon by sin. Romans 8:1 says, "There is therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Friend, I'm here to say this to you tonight. We have the ability to overcome the temptation by Christ's accessibility through the Lord Jesus Christ's availability. Back in 1 Corinthians 10, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10 and in verse 13, it says in the latter part, in the middle part, "There is no temptation taken you but such as common man." Watch this. "But God is faithful." You know, I spoke this morning about that point of reliability. Amen. You know, we need to be a man and women of our word. We need to be able to say, "Are yea, be yea, or nay, be nay." That's true. But at the end of the day, we're human. Amen. Things may happen. That doesn't give you an excuse, a justification, or a reason to not be a person of your word. However, God is always there. God is always faithful. He's never turned His back upon you. He's never looked at you and said, "No, I don't have time for you." God has never gotten caught up in too many appointments. God's never done any of those things. But the Lord has always been faithful. Turn to your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 5. God is faithful in our life. 1 Peter in chapter 5, He is faithful in our lives. You know what? It may not happen in the time that we would like it to happen, but friend, He is available. His availability is why we have a way to escape in the midst of the temptation, my friend. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verses 6 and 7, the Bible says, "Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him." Watch this. "For He careth for you." Boy, I tell you what. There's a lot of great verses in the Bible, man. But that sure is one of them, amen. I mean, we are able to bear the temptation through the Lord Jesus Christ's availability. Hebrews 13:5 says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Hudson Taylor said, "The Lord is my shepherd, not was, not maybe, not will be. The Lord is my shepherd on Sunday, is on Monday, and through every day of the week, is in January, is in December, and every month of the year, is at home, and is in China, is in peace, and is in war, in abundance, and in poverty." He says, "The Lord is my shepherd." Say amen to that. Hey, listen, He's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. His body is available as well. Christ is a city of refuge. His body, friend, His body is what was shed. It was broken for us. His blood was spilt upon the ground for you and I, that we may have eternal life. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6 and in verse 2, "Bear ye one another's burden and so fulfill the law of Christ." Friend, the law of Christ, His body, He bore our sins in His body, and by Him bearing our sins in His body, He gave us a way to reach unto Him, that we can come to the throne of heaven, we can bow our hearts, and friend, we can talk unto the Creator of all the universe, amen. I mean, if we picked up the phone today and we was able to call somebody famous, we called the President or called the Queen of England or whatever, called somebody like that, man, we'd feel pretty big, wouldn't we? But how often, many a times, do we get down and dial the heavenly phone unto heaven today? How often do we kneel our hearts and bow our souls and speak to the one that spoke everything into existence? That ought to make you feel pretty good, amen. Not picking up the phone and I don't want to talk to the President anyway, amen. I don't want to talk to him. I want to call him and say, "Hey, look, time is short. You need to get on out." Amen. Take the china and the silverware like the Clintons did. Take them, but just, I don't care what you take. Just go. Amen. Get on out of here. Move on up, move on out. But nevertheless, I'm telling you today, we can bear the temptation. We have a way to escape and the temptations that come our way because we're able to do so because of Christ's accessibility. But beloved, His accessibility is rooted and grounded by His availability. Let me say this to you tonight, friend. Look in James chapter 5, and I want you to see this. Temptation is going to come your way. Trials are going to come your way. Struggles are going to come your way. But friend, I want to say this to you this evening, and we're going to get this in context, if you will. I want you to see where we are. In James in chapter 5, and in verse 16, the Bible says, "Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Elias was a man, watch this, subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth much fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converted the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins. Friend, Elias was a man of like passion. Elijah was. He fought with the same devils and the same flesh that we fight with today. Listen, fear and despair in the time of trouble to the point to where Elijah sought death. Elijah defeated 600 and some odd of those prophets of Baal. He got up there and said, "Peradventure, your God sleepeth." He mocked them out there on Mount Carmel, and he slew every one of those things. And then one woman named Jezebel said she's going to kill him, and he fled for the mountains. Boy, and he says, "Hey, I'm the only one left. Lord, take my life. Get it on out of here. I'm ready to die." Amen. Well, Spurgeon said, "The great is thy power, O woman." Amen. He was afraid of him. Shakespeare said, "Hell hath no fury like a woman scorned." I guess Elijah believed that, and he took off and he ran. Let me tell you something. He dealt with the same physical flesh that we do. He dealt with the same temptations that we do. And I got to tell you this. He served the same God that we serve. Amen. It was the same Holy Spirit that filled him up with the power and might to pray, and that heaven, that rain stopped, and to pray, and that heaven, that rain opened up back again. It's the same Spirit, praise the Lord. You say, "Well, preacher, why don't we have that power today? I don't think we have the belief like he did." Amen. That's where it lies. We need to believe like he did, friend. Paul said in Romans 7:23, he read it again. He said, "But I see another law of my members, warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" There's only one, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the power and might of the Holy Spirit of God that can bring us away from the wicked life that we live. Temptations are going to come in your life. They're going to come in my life, and we have to remember that we have the ability to defeat and to cast down and to have victory over every temptation that comes into our days. It comes into our life. We have the accessibility through the throne of heaven. We have the accessibility and the victory over these temptations because we have the availability of the Almighty, powerful Creator of the universe, the Savior that died for us, who spoke the worlds into existence, the Lord Jesus Christ. We can bow our heart here in about 5 minutes at this altar right here. And you go all the way from Goodlettsville, Tennessee, to the third heaven, to the throne of God. Boy, that ought to make you feel good, amen. That ought to make you at least want to wake up, amen. Praise the Lord. Temptations are going to come. That's a fact. Some are going to have the same temptations. Others are going to have different. But we are able by Christ's accessibility and through His availability. The last time I asked you to turn, I told you Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Let me say this to you tonight. We mentioned about casting down imaginations. We have the ability to do that, friend. We have the ability to do that through the power and might of the Holy Spirit of God, through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have that ability to do that. But the Bible says in Hebrews 12 and verse 6, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth," watch this, "and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." Now friend, the word scourge means what? It means to pull away. It is the pulling away of the flesh. When the Lord Jesus Christ was whooped with the scourge, when He was beaten with that scourge, it wasn't just a cat of nine tails, a hanging. That's not just what that means. The way it got its name is twofold. Number one is they take a leather strap of one piece and they cut it and they pull it away one from another to where you have like a tassels hanging down. But in a scourge, in the days of Christ, they intermixed that thing with rocks and bones and pieces of metal and shards and pottery. And it was a long whip of a multitude of pieces of leather intermixed with all those pieces of leather and metal bones and chips and stone and all that. And when they took that whip, they threw that thing, they hit the back of Jesus Christ, and all of those things locked into the skin, and they pulled it. And when they pulled it, it separated the flesh from the bone. Okay? And by the way, most men died under a scourging. Most men died. That's why they used to try people by scourging. Because typically when they were hit one time, whatever thing they needed to confess, be it true or false, they went ahead and spilled the beans just to get out from that scourging. As a matter of fact, the mightiest missionary that ever walked the face of this planet outside of Christ was the Apostle Paul. And he endured a whole lot of things, beaten by his own countrymen 5 times, shipwrecked, stoned to death, thrown off this. All those things happened to him. But buddy, when he was taken in there, and that old chief captain said they were going to scourge him, he pulled the Roman citizen card, didn't he? He said, "Is it lawful to scourge a Roman citizen, a man uncondemned?" Oh, whoa, wait a second. Hold the horses. See, a scourging was basically a death sentence. And see, what happens, friend, is our flesh has to be pulled away. Temptations are allowed to come into our life so that we will cast them down and get spiritually stronger. Because God knows we have the ability. He knows we have the availability unto Him. He knows we have the accessibility unto Him. But they come into our life, and they come into our walk, and it comes into our ways to pull that flesh away from us. So we may be spiritually fortified. So we may be spiritually stronger. Things come into our days because there is no temptation. That which is common to man. Bible says in Philippians 3:9, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him, the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. The Bible tells me in Romans 8:29, for whom He did foreknow, He did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Today, the Lord Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. That is what He's done for us. And we today are to be conformed unto the image of His Son. Spiritually speaking today, we are going to go through a scourging. We're going to go through trials. We're going to go through temptations. Things are going to come at us that this world throws at us every single day. Again, like I said earlier, some are high days, some are low days. But every day and every hour and every moment and every minute, you're going to be tempted to have a reaction that would appease the flesh. And when those moments come, no matter what they are, no matter where they are, you need to do your very dead level best to take that thought, take that imagination, and pull it down and bring it to the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ, because He's given you the ability to do it. We have the accessibility unto Himself. We have that because of His availability. He's always there. So no matter where you are, no matter what comes your way, no matter if it be at work or home, the grocery store or on the road, whatever it may be, when that thing happens, the first thought is, Lord, here I am. Take this temptation. I'm throwing it away. You say, preacher, does it work every time? It's not going to work every time. You're human. But for every time it does work, that's one less temptation that you fell prey to. And for every two times it works, that's two temptations you didn't fall prey to. And for every three and every four and every five and every six, to where you're building up a spiritual fortified life, a spiritual foundation, a spiritual wall to guard yourself from the wickedness of this world and the wickedness of this life. Being an example, both unto the believers and the lost and dying, of the precious gift that the Lord Jesus Christ has given us in His death, burial, and resurrection. And that is the free gift of eternal salvation. Would you bow your heads with me this afternoon?
This concludes this message. For more information on messages available through the Faithful Witness Outreach, visit New Testament Baptist Church online at www.ntbctn.com, or for immediate assistance, call New Testament Baptist Church at 615-851-0970. If you are in the Nashville, Tennessee area, please feel free to join us at any of our church times. New Testament Baptist Church is located at 2320 Baker Station Road, Goodlettsville, Tennessee, 30072.